Total Control, ABC TV's political drama, is returning to the corridors of power. In the first season, we saw political newcomer Alex Irving, played by Deborah Mailman, engineer a remarkable coup against the Prime Minister who appointed her to the Senate. For Deborah, it was her first lead role in a television drama, and despite some initial controversy about the working title, Total Control has been a tour de force, embraced by audiences and critics alike. As she prepared for the season 2 premiere, I spoke to Deborah about what we can expect to see and how she feels about reprising the role.
I think there was more relief than anything that we're finally able to get the cameras rolling after the year that everyone had. It didn't come around quick enough for me, to be honest. I was just really excited. But it did give the writers plenty of time to really finesse the script. So by the time we were on set, we were starting with some really fantastic scripts. So I was a little bit nervous, I have to say. Not as nervous as first time around, but I think coming into it, you always want season two to be as good, if not better, than season one. So I think that's where my nerves are a little bit at this stage, is I hope that people will really love season two and stick with Alex's journey throughout season two, because it's an incredibly emotional season this time around. The writers sort of haven't shied away from putting Alex through the ringer in this one.
She's been on an incredible journey of, finding her Machiavellian streak in season one, and then I've so far only been able to see the beginning of two. It's almost like an evolution that's now doing a reset. Like she's going back to kind of her roots, her core. One of the ways that I really appreciated watching Alex evolve, then sort of recenter, is it's a very minute detail, but her hair.
I know, she's ever changing, depending on the season.
I'm fascinated about what black women's hair says and communicates. When we meet Alex, episode one, season one, she's got the curls, she's got the like very natural hairstyle. And then as she gets more and more sort of the politician, it becomes slicked down and it's very controlled.
Which obviously very deliberate from a production standpoint.
Absolutely. And then, you know, we're starting to see those curls are coming back.
Yeah, that wild buddy Alex Irving. I'm really great that you pointed that out. I mean, I know Nikki Gurley, who's our hair and makeup artist, you know, everything is very deliberate and has intention. And it's exactly that, you know, with Alex's journey by the end of season one. I mean, you put it so beautifully, it is very controlled. And it's also about being taken seriously as well. You know, it's how you present yourself and how you feel like you should be presented and what people think about that. And, you know, and again, it's like in order for Alex to feel like she's being taken seriously, she has to be that dramatic.
Mm. And so this season, we pick up moments from where we left off at the end of season one.
You know, we're seeing the consequences of everything and how far those consequences extend. You know, they're certainly felt by Eddie in this season, her son, and her brother Charlie. So it isn't just about how Alex is feeling and all this. She's actually seeing how it's affecting, you know, her family situation. The fight becomes quite personal for her. And you see Wes, her Patton, who plays my son Eddie. I mean, he's now like 15, 16-year-old Eddie. Now you see that sort of growth and just how it affects him. And it's a really nice sort of, well, I love that the show goes there in terms of how it's affecting Eddie and being a young kid in a rural town, you know, just highlighting that sense of, well, Eddie could go either way in regards to his journey and his path in life, you know, and I think we're sort of on a bit of an edge with his story, like what's Eddie going to do?
As Alex says to him, you know, like, he is being watched in ways that she isn't, and sometimes more so.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I really like that there's a bit of attention to that this season around, and on Eddie's story there's a bit more to what's going on with him, and also with Charlie as well, and how that whole family dynamic is sort of upended with all the sort of all the abuse and the racism that's sort of thrown at them. Where we start, she's jumped ship, so she's gone to the opposition side. She's now in the House of Reps with the promise that the Winton deal would be renegotiated and potential, you know, further justice for the two young girls, Maisie McClan and Jess Clark. But she realises very quickly at the beginning of this all that nothing changes and nothing will change, and so she decides to run as an independent and run in her own electorate, which has been a safe seat for over 25 years and is held by a guy called Jack Ramsey, played by Colin Friels. So it just shows her passion and a dedication to really make sure that her community are looked after and have a voice to Parliament, because what she's doing is probably stupid by anyone's account. You know, she's winning an almost unwinnable fight in order to run as an independent in this electorate. But, you know, she has this really strong drive and belief to make sure that her community are being heard.
It got me thinking about Alex being told that, you know, effectively her idea of politics is naive, and that in that naivety it kind of shows that she does not believe in democracy, because democracy is this like barely held together sort of broken thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Has working on a show like this changed your relationship or understanding of politics, of democracy?
I guess in some instance there is good intention in some respect, in terms of, and I imagine a lot of people have great intention going into politics, and you know, with the sense of wanting to change things, it doesn't always happen in that set, in that way. Don't know if it's really given me even more interest in it. In all honesty, I've been asked a few times, oh, would you ever go into politics? And it's a definite no. I mean, I appreciate it. I appreciate those who do put their hand up for, you know, and to serve in this way. Like, it's takes a hell of a lot of guts to do that. But I don't know if it's really made me want to, I don't know if I'm as passionate about politics in the way that Rachel Griffiths is. Like, she loves politics. She's a political junkie, and, you know, a lot of trying to get this world as accurate as possible is a lot to do with Rachel's sort of passion around politics. I don't think I'm ever going to get to that point.
That mouthy black fella for a PM is not actually you.
That's right.
That's where the separation between Deb Mailman exactly. and Alex Irving. That's the real split.
True.
You also, this season, we see comedian Steph Tisdale join the cast.
Yes. Yeah, she's a fabulous addition to the team. Because I'm not on social media, so I didn't really know Steph's work, but obviously she's quite well known within that social media circle, and with her comedy as well. So she came to a read, one of our very first table reads, just her instincts around the table read. I just looked at her and I just went, who is this woman? She's amazing. And I was sort of darting eyes at Wayne Blair, our director, and Darren Dale, our producer, going, she's amazing. And it's so great that we have her. And actually Rachel Griffiths is a really big fan of Steph. So, you know, we're just really lucky to have her.
And it's fascinating to see somebody that I think a lot of us know for their comedy stepping into a dramatic role, to the point where she's sort of almost unrecognisable.
Yeah, and look, I know she was quite nervous coming into this, and we've had a number of long conversations, and it's like, well, you know, in fact, comedy is far more, I find that harder to do as a skill set. So, I, you know, she's a performer, full stop. So I think she found her rhythm pretty quickly. But I can imagine coming from a completely different sort of art form to then jumping in and sort of having to learn the skills very quickly in front of camera. But I just think it's fabulous that you know that we get to be introduced to her as an actor.
Coming back to total control, this has been a very big year in Canberra, discussing what it is like to be a woman in Canberra. I wonder how total control will hit, because this is it's a show that is very conscious of what it is to be a woman in politics.
And it's deliberately so, and I think that's certainly, well, Rachel Griffiths is also an executive producer on this production, and that's very much what she wanted to tap into in regards to the female experience within Canberra and the double standards, and you know, we've seen, you know, over many, many years and decades of how our female politicians have been treated differently to male politicians. So, you know, that was definitely an intention that the show has in regards to that experience. You know, and then add a woman of colour in the mix, you know, and the relentless abuse that sort of happens with Alex, but no doubt, I imagine, with a lot of those politicians, you know, female politicians, I can't imagine how they have to deal with that sort of crap.
In sort of making a show that is this intense, like, how do you find those moments of lightness?
Well, I guess the great thing working in a production like this is working with your own mob, and you're always guaranteed laughter. You know, working with Robbie Collins and Wes and having Wayne Blair as my director, like there's always laughter, and that sort of really balances those sort of really intense narratives that we have to tell. But I think that's what I love working with our own mob, is because, you know, it is a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun, and we get each other, and we've got the same sense of humour. We're always trying to crack each other up. We're all being a bit stupid, you know. So that's how, but, you know, it's a nice balance with this show.
Well, yeah, actually, I did ask a friend, what should I ask you? And she was like, ask about when they went to karaoke.
Oh, my God.
I have a feeling happened. Like, it's not in the show. It might have just been a cast trip.
So this is us, you know, at the end of the day. So we ended up filming in Broken Hill this time around because of the whole pandemic and travel restrictions. We weren't able to get back to Winton. So we had to make it work, and Broken Hill is where we filmed all the Winton scenes. And so there's a fabulous pub. It's called The Palace, which was made famous by Priscilla Queen of the Desert. But every Wednesday night they just have karaoke, and it is the best, most funnest night I've ever had. And so that was sort of when we weren't feeling too tired, we'd just sort of go down the pub, have a pub meal, and then, you know, yeah, once that microphone switched on. But it was just great to sit back and watch too, because it's quite a big event in Broken Hill. Like, everyone comes out, and there's some serious singers in Broken Hill, man.
There you go. Well, look, there's no secrets on the road, apparently.
But you know what it's like at the beginning? It's like, no, I'm not singing. By the end of it, you think you're Tina Turner.
Yeah.
But it's a proper stage and everything.
Oh, I love
that. Like, it's a really fabulous venue.
Look, I don't know if you know this, but Secret Life of Us is having a renaissance at the moment.
I've heard it's being rediscovered by a whole new generation because it's now on Netflix, and it's like, gee, we did that. Oh, that's close to 20, 25 years ago now that we did that.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's fabulous that that it's getting a bit of a resurgence, and that some of these streaming services are going back to, you know, Australian drama and filling that sort of content quota, you know, with new dramas that, you know, obviously a whole generation haven't seen. So it's great that people get to see a show like Secret Life of Us, because for me that was such a fabulous show to be part of, and it was a really great training ground for me as well. You know, that was good 4 seasons of being in front of the camera, 22 eps, which is unheard of now in Australian drama, being on set every day, working with the likes of Claudia Carvin and Sam Johnson and Jolly Edgerton and all those people. You know, it was just really great beginning for me in regards to doing Australian drama or television series, at least. I mean, I would love to know what people are, you know, because I haven't really spoken to anyone or met anyone who has been watching it. So, but I do know that I've heard from other people, you know, like their daughter and their friends are watching it, and you know, a lot of high schoolers are sort of coming to it. So I'd be really keen to see what they think about it all.
It's very much people who were maybe like a bit young for it the first time round.
Right, right. I did take a look at when it first came on. I just went, oh, my God. So I sort of watched the pilot again and I just went, oh, gee, we just we were babies. We were all starting out except for Claudia, who had been doing it for so long. But, you know, for the rest of us, we were really just starting out in regards to television work.
I guess because I'm thinking about, like, how much the Australian television sort of landscape has changed since you started.
It's changed in enormously and in a great way. I mean, the fact is that, well, we can see so many of our First Nations stories being told on both the big and small screen, and that's to do with over 25 years of investment in talent and looking at career pathways for our artists. And now we're getting to see so many other actors, you know, like Steph Tisdale, Robbie Collins, Wes Patton, doing so many different roles within both the commercial productions as well. And I think that's because we've got more of our writers in the writers' room, we've got directors behind the camera, we've got our producers producing our own work. So that just, it's a roll-on effect from just years and years of investment in terms of getting First Nations stories told by us.
Deborah Mailman there speaking to me ahead of Total Control's Season 2 premiere. Total Control airs on ABC TV, Sunday nights at 8:40 p.m. or catch up on iView. You're listening to Away on Radio National. I'm Rudy Bremer.